Blog Talk Radio.
A wonderful part of the freedoms and opportunities that we have as U.S. citizens is made possible because of the service and commitment of men and women who serve in our U.S. military. I have the great and distinguished honor of being able to join us today as a guest, retired Sergeant Major of the Marines, Mr. Al McMichael. Mr. Al McMichael is a member of the Pinnacle Five, an elite group of men who served together as the highest-ranking non-commissioned officers advising the Joint Chiefs of Staff in each of the five branches of the military, while they also prepared, led, and supported the collective forces through September 11th. Today, Pinnacle Five advocates about the true value of veterans among employees and its committed voice. They are the committed voice behind a program known as Step Up America, the call to good citizenship. Al McMichael, thank you so much for joining us today on Sylvia Global. How are you?
Great, Sylvia, and thank you so much for this super opportunity.
We are very, very honored to have you with us and look forward to a really robust conversation associated with the work that you are doing on behalf of the United States military as a part of Pinnacle Five and the work and the mission of a program known as Step Up America, the Call to Good Citizenship. Talk to us about your involvement in these two efforts.
Well, I would love to. First, let me say that being a member of Pinnacle Five is a great privilege for me because I get to continue to serve with four other wonderful Americans who served alongside me while we wore the cloth of our nation, the uniform of the armed forces. And we are not only colleagues, but we're really great friends. Our mission is to go out and educate America about the value of our veterans. Not so much to tell the veteran how to prepare themselves for a resume or to get a job, but to help corporate America, small business, medium-sized businesses, better understand the value of these great men and women who has been well-educated, well-trained at the sum of more than $10 billion a year that stands on their doorsteps waiting to reinsert themselves back into society. And Pinnacle Five takes the lead on that, and we do it in many different ways. One of the profound ways that we do is working with an organization called American Security Council Foundation that has a campaign that asked America to step up to the call for good citizenship in advocating security, homeland security, cyber security, personal security, to help them better understand the importance of taking care of, see something, say something, not only in the home, but at the dinner table, at school, in our community, and understanding that we have the role of the military, we have the role of the law enforcement officers, our firefighters, our police officers, and more importantly, our first responders. We carry that message to America, across America, working with organizations like Veterans United, who have foundations that take great covenant in helping veterans get homes and become the leader of home loans so that our veterans are not on the street wondering what opportunities they have when we explain and carry that message. And then we work with an organization called Operation Reinvent. And I'm extremely excited about Operation Reinvent because it focuses on the women in the military. Even though the women are a small part percentage of the millions of people that serve in the uniform, they still have great needs. And Operation Reinvent focuses on those needs from an aspect of makeovers, haircuts, makeup on the face, wearing, helping them obtain the quality clothes that will get them through an interview, and to allow them to be ahead of the pack and not to feel like they are second-class citizens. So when you take all of those and put them in one package, you can see that Pinnacle 5 is very busy, but we focus primarily on the citizenship of our nation because we firmly believe that citizenship is important. And if we don't focus on citizenship, we may not be able to have replacements of people like myself or the other four members of Pinnacle 5.
So let's talk a little bit in a little bit more detail then about each of these key issues and the four pillars of good citizenship. You know, you mentioned national and homeland security being one of those. You know, talk to us about what that means and in the role of good citizenship as an ordinary citizen. You know, I think for myself, you know, I think of national and homeland security as a federal job and a federal level of responsibility, the TSA when I go through the airport. But how does national and homeland security become the responsibility of this ordinary citizen and our role as good citizens?
Well, that's truly the message, and to educate them about what they are required to, what would be expected of them to do. From a national security aspect, it's really about how we deal with other countries and other nations and how we present ourselves across the globe. Homeland Security, as you know, is a very large organization that came into existence after 9/11. However, to understand the role of Homeland Security in protecting the people that actually live in this great country is a very, very difficult job. But our goal is to help them realize how to be involved and to understand the things that they should be focused on and what they can see. And one of the models that we go by is to see something, say something, to understand the role of your law enforcement, the police force. One of the things that is very prominent is the marathon bombing in Boston. Some of those things mm-hmm. would have never came to fruition if it had not been for the citizens with their cameras and information in and making phone calls and letting people know what had went on around them at that particular time to allow the law enforcement people to act in a professional and expedient manner.
Okay, what about cybersecurity and the impact of cyber attacks on our infrastructure, our power, our transportation, aviation, telecommunications and financial industries?
You know, cybersecurity has been a very high-profile issue from day one. If you take a step back into the past, you can remember Y2K. We were afraid to even get on an airplane. We didn't know if the traffic lights were going to work. We didn't know if elevators were going to work. We didn't even know if we were able to land aircraft. But we got past that. Today, cybersecurity with modern technology and IT information has grown significantly more advanced. And to use it and to communicate the way we do, both in the private sector for businesses, how we do it in the military to fight wars and unmanned vehicles to save lives and those types of things, cybersecurity is essential to understand how it can be misused as well as it can be used to allow us to stay one step ahead of our foe.
So again, as an ordinary layperson and citizen of the United States, what is Pinnacle 5 wanting to see accomplished, and how do I do that? Are there resources of information, a toolkit that's accessible? Are there trainings that is, you know, what? How is this being accomplished in terms of public involvement?
We launched a campaign, Gail, was very simple. We launched a campaign across America, getting into the schoolhouses, starting with our children, getting into the community, working with community organizations, working with our people on the Hill from an aspect of finding out what needs to be done, and then spreading the information to these organizations about the role of the military, the role of law enforcement, the role of first responders, and helping them better understand. Because if you really take a step back, the layman on the street, if you ask them about the military, what do they do to protect you, you would be surprised how little do they understand our role, even though our role is really what we do on foreign soil more so than in. But then we have people right here, our first responders, our law enforcement, our National Guards, our reservists who are called out by the governors of each state, and to be able to respond to these things that make us more efficient and safe. We know that safety is a very difficult thing to have in our country, but at the same time, the more knowledge you have about it, the more understanding you have, and the more you know what to look for and know who to say it to, goes hand in hand with the slogan, say something, see something, say something. Pinnacle 5 is working with the American Security Council and Step Up America called the Good Citizenship to get them to understand it's a third step to it, and that third step is to do something. And to do something is to be active. You can't afford to be a citizen in this country and be a bench warmer. You've got to be on the court playing with the rest of us in safety and security, and you've got to be in the game playing every day vigilantly about what's going on around you, especially when you're at ATMs, when you're in school with cyberbullying, walking the streets with cameras on IT equipment like cell phones and those types of things that are getting so advanced that everything is being captured, and we want to make sure that the right things are captured for the right reasons and not the wrong things that can lead us and put us in jeopardy as a nation.
So this is a part of the American values and being able to safeguard our security and a way for the everyday American citizen to be a leader in partnering with the efforts that are part of the efforts of the military and those who are serving in this bigger capacity that we most frequently associate being with the military.
Absolutely. But it's even more so than the military. We know that we can tell them what we do in uniform. We want them to understand what they can do before they even get in a uniform. And one of the things is to be a good citizen. Without being a good citizen, you may never be able to replace a Gail Sylvia. You may never be able to replace an Al McMichael or a member of Pinnacle 5 because you won't be able to qualify. We want to take that less than 25% of our citizens between the ages of 18 and 25 and erase the hurdles and the stones that keep them from being our replacement. And the way to do that is to get them to focus on good citizenship. And we work on good citizenship not just in the classroom, not just in Boys and Girls Clubs, not just in Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. We want it to start at the dinner table. We want it to be a part of a family outing. We want it to be what mom and dad speaks to their children about every night, to be aware of your surroundings, to be a leader, not a follower. Understand what peer pressure can drive you into an area where the rest of your life you'll be paying for it, because you'll be stuck in what we would call a minimum wage job. And sometimes those things will cause you to be an easy target for people that want to allow you to stray in a way that society wouldn't expect a good citizen to go.
You are a retired Sergeant Major of the Marine. How many years did you serve, and how have you seen this shift occur in generations in association to being good citizens and how those values are conveyed?
Well, I served in the Marine Corps for 36, almost 37 years, active duty. And so that gave me almost four decades of experience. But it also allowed me to see four generations come through or more. And none of them were the same. The only thing that remained the same was the defense of our country and getting young men and women to understand the value of the oath of office, of the oath of enlistment, where they raised their hand and took an oath to solemnly swear to support and defend the Constitution of this great nation and pledge their very allegiance to the flag that represents this country. So in those 38 years or 37 years of wearing the uniform, you saw 18-year-olds every day, they always remained 18. I got older every day. The beauty of being older, you gain wisdom and you become better educated. But you saw the military evolve. And one of the great things that I'm very proud of, in January of 2013, the military opened up more opportunities for women in the military. In other words, They gave given women the opportunity to excel and get to the highest level of the armed forces as the men of this country. And not that they never were providing the same quality of support and in the defense of the nation, but now they get to show their great talent in other areas where society and the changes, before the change of thought, they would not be able to excel. And they're proven to be quality in all of those areas that for as long as the military had existed, they were not allowed to compete. And it makes me very proud to see that we changed in that area to set to allow women in the armed forces, women of this great nation, to be able to show their ability and their strength and their dedication and their patriotism, just as me and other men that wore the uniform.
Well, I know here at Sylvia Global, we are extremely excited about your involvement in helping us to get the voices and the images of what women in the military are doing and the power of their influence, the significance of their presence, and the challenges that they face so that our viewers around the world can meet and understand what it means to be a woman veteran and the honor that comes with serving in so many capacities. And that, I mean, you again with Pinnacle 5 represent five different branches of the military, and there are women in each of these branches. And even though you made reference earlier to the presence of women are still at a small percentage compared to the million serving, their presence is still extremely significant, and their voice and their work is what we're very appreciative of having you assist us in sharing that voice and their work. So I want to thank you for that and for them as well. We're so excited about having them join us here on Sylvia Global Media Network.
Well, it's a great honor, and that's what allowed me to get excited about Operation Reinvent. The founder of Operation Reinvent, who is a phenomenal woman, Julie LeWitt, who put this organization together, and it's going to be one of the greatest things for me is to introduce the two of you so that it can be a hand-in-hand cooperation. But to see them work with women and give them makeovers and haircuts and put them into clothes and let them know that although you took off the dungarees, although you took off the uniform, you didn't have to sacrifice your femininity. You didn't have to sacrifice your love to be a mother. You don't have to sacrifice anything, regardless of whether you make 77 cents to a dollar that men do, regardless of whether or not we didn't want you to be in the front lines until January of 2013. You are still important to every phase of life that we walked on this face of the earth. Mm-hmm. And to recognize a part of our society, the human society, to recognize women in the highest light that can be, just makes everything more feasible and more balanced, equality across the spectrum. And it makes me proud to know that you can put your hand in that and work with organizations like yours, work with organizations like Operation Reinvent, and see that even though women lead it, it doesn't make it wrong. It actually makes it strong and makes it better. And to see that they are dedicated not because they're reaching out to make it better for themselves, but for all of their sisters that want to have a fair an equal chance to show their talent. They're not asking to just play. They want to show their talent. And sometimes, personally, I think we look at it as if they show too much of their talent, we might be showed up. But that's okay. I came from a background of strong, phenomenal women. My mother, my grandmother, living in a home with single parent, some would call it a broken home. But I can assure you, wasn't anything broken in my home.
Not at all.
I had a mother that filled the role of mother, filled the role of father, and I didn't miss out on one thing. Well, I did. I missed out on maybe getting a butt beaten by some.
Al, I have a couple of questions before we wrap up this particular conversation, but we're excited about being able to have more of these in the near future to share with our audience. We've had a couple questions come over from you, so I'd like to ask you on behalf of some of our viewers right now, because we are live streaming. One of them is from Deborah. She is in Cleveland, Ohio, and she's asking if you would encourage, if she doesn't know if you have a daughter or not, but would you encourage your own daughter to join the Marine Corps when everyone else in her family is discouraging her from doing that?
Well, to Deborah, I would say I never encourage my daughter to do anything, one thing other than to be a strong woman in her own right and strong enough to make her own decisions. What I did is provided her with a positive example of what the military is about, with honest and true facts about what it took to be a part of the armed forces and how to maneuver in it for survival even. It's nothing wrong with joining the military if you go into it to serve, but if you go into it for benefits of what I can get out of it, it becomes difficult because those things you get out of it doesn't come up front. It's not like going in the supermarket and buying groceries. You pay for it, you take it home, it's yours. Here you have to buy in and serve a while before you can really reap the benefits that go. And it takes the path that women travel in the military sometimes is a little longer to reach that. But now with our commander-in-chief, who has opened the doors of occupational fields for women to thrive, I think that will succeed quite quickly. And to see a woman, now we have 4-star generals that are women. We have 3-star generals that are women. We have sergeants, majors, and master chiefs and chief master sergeants of our armed forces that are women. They are in combat. They are leading troops on the ground. They're leading troops in special areas that we can't talk about, and they don't fail. And to have you to be qualified, and whether or not you join the military, Deborah, what's most important is that when you ask to join as a good citizen, you at least qualify, and then it's your choice whether you want to step into it or not. A lot of people want to be my replacement, and they try to, but they weren't good citizens, so they can't. And that's what gives us a more than 75% of 18 to 25-year-olds can't even qualify.
Mm. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit more? What are you referring to that 75% of them would not qualify?
Well, they don't qualify. It's about 77% of our 18 to 25-year-olds that don't qualify to be accepted into the military, whether it's moral, financial, obesity. These things hamper them, and if you think about it, how do you correct those? Good citizenship. If we teach our children how to be good citizens, they can qualify for all the opportunities that the future offers them. If we let them go astray and they get sidetracked and they get into drugs, they get into misbehaviors, they get into all these misdemeanors that become the part of their record, they can't qualify to get into our service academies. They can't get into the military. And to get a good job in the government or into a corporation with background clearances and things, they can no longer meet those requirements. And therefore, they are then stuck in what I call the next step to statistics.
Mm. So I could surmise from something you just said that staying healthy or getting healthy is a part of being a good citizen, and that if we're not healthy physically, mentally, and as a healthy from a medical standpoint, that disqualifies us. And you used an example of obesity. Would that be an accurate conclusion?
Absolutely. Being healthy is not just what you eat; it's how you live.
Yeah,
it's a lifestyle. And it's not where you live, it's how you live in the environment that you're in. And part of it is a good family structure. We measure family structure based on the number of people in mom, dad, so forth and so on. But I came from an environment where the family structure was strong. The love and the commitment in the family was unshakable. But it was one person, it was my mom. But I think what helped that come about was the fact that we had a home to live in. And a lot about veterans, and a lot of them that are on the street today are homeless. And then you have veterans that take to other things to get a home, and that's why Pinnacle 5 works so strong and hand-in-hand with Veterans United to make sure that we provide them with all of the education and all of the necessary information that one would need, whether they have bad credit, no credit, or have great credit. We want to get them off the street and to live the American dream and get them into a home with 30,000 men and women that they have worked through the assistance of Pinnacle 5, Veterans United, and making sure that our veterans get homes and those in the military get the right quality homes that they can raise a family to be able to sit down at a dinner table, to be able to measure their finances and buy the right foods and to provide the right environment so that our children can have a stable situation to build their citizenship, to be strong and effective to take on the next stage of life from childhood to adulthood.
We have so much, Al, that we need to talk about and make available in terms of information to our audience here. Let's take one last question, and then we'll have to look forward to having you come back again and being a regular host here on Sylvia Global along with your associates. So.